Okay, good morning and a Freilich and Chanukah, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding on daf Tzadi Alpha Beis. We are at Amar Shmuel, about 10 lines from the end of the page, on daf Tzadi Alpha Beis. So she is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to talk about is that when one brings wine as a nidava, as Rabbi Akiva holds that one may do, why is it that you're allowed to sprinkle it on the fire? The Shmuel has a shita that you sprinkle the wine on the fire when you bring it as a nedava. So the Gemara wants to know, well, wait a second, isn't that a violation of mechabe, of being mechabe the esh that's on the mizbeach? So the Gemara is going to have a couple of answers to that question. Then we're going to have a couple of rayas that Shmuel is incorrect, that you're not allowed to be sprinkle the wine on the mizbeach. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how to burn nisachim that became tamei, and so that's going to bring us to the end of the perek. And then the new perek, the 11th perek, is going to begin, and we're going to talk about the halachos of laundering a beged that dam chatas had sprinkled on. How exactly? What exactly are the rules? Which types of dam chatas require a kibus begadim when that dam gets onto a beged? The Gemara is going to discuss, how do we know that chatos hapnimios are included in the din kibus, and that chatos ha'of are excluded from the din kibus, meaning the din of dam chatos getting on a beged, now you need to be mechabis the beged, is true if the dam chatos is from chatos hapnimios. That din is not true when it comes from chatos ha'of. So the Gemara is going to have three explanations of how we know that that's the case, to include the chatos hapnimios and to exclude the chatos ha'of. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if the chatos ha'of, if the dam of the chatos ha'of goes into the heichal, but it goes into the heichal, which is too far bifnim, it's not supposed to go into the heichal, but it goes in while it's still in the animal neck. Does that become possible? Normally when it's yotze chutz l'mechitzaso, whether too far out or too far in, it becomes possible. But what if it went in while it was still in the animal's neck? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if the dam chatas ha'of spills on the floor and then you collect it in a kli shares, does it become possible? So that will bring us pretty much to the end of the daf. So let's begin at Amar Shmuel, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on daf Tzadi Alvan Beis. If a person brings yayin as a nedava, so on its own, without any accompanying karban, maybe umizalfal gabeishim, he brings it to the base of Mikdash and he sprinkles it on the fire that's on the mizbeach. The Mikdash David has an interesting chakira. When we say that you're mizalif the yayin on the ishim, does that have a din of haktara? That since the Torah is megalat to us through a pasuk that Shmuel's about to darshan, that you're supposed to bring this ala ishim, that it's a din of being maktir the yayin, and as opposed to normally what you do with yayin is that you're menasechit, you pour it into the safalim that are on the Rosh HaMizbeach, which is a nisuch yayin. Over here there's a din of being maktir because you're putting it on fire. Or do we say, no, it's still a din of nisuch, it's called that you're being menasech the yayin, but what we're learning from the pasuk is that instead of being menasech into the safalim, you're menasech onto the esh. What difference does it make? You call it potato, potato. What difference does it make? You call it nisuch. You call it being maktir. Either way, you're taking the yayin and you're putting it on the fire. So there may be significant differences. Haktara has to be bekezayis. Nisuch is b'shlosh alugin. So how much do you have to do if you're a zar to be chayiv for a zar doing this avoda? If a zar is the one that puts the yayin on the ishim, so is it b'shlosh alugin or is it b'kazayis? Or how much do you have to be? Do you have to do in order to be chayiv for being male it b'chutz? Another difference between haktara and nisuch is that nisuch is dafka done with the kli shares. Haktara is bein biyad, bein b'kli. Or another difference is haktara has to be on the marach gedola, specifically on the large fire on the top of the mizbeach, and therefore you're not allowed to do it before that krovis tamishal shachar, after that krovis Shabbos Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, because nothing goes on that large fire before the Tamid Shel Shachar, after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. But Nisuch Al Gabei Yishim, maybe it doesn't require the Maracha Gedola. Maybe it could be on the small Maracha that's on the top of the Mizbeach. So it would, so therefore, it would be Mutter even before the Tamid Shel Shachar or after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. So an interesting Lamdisha Chakira, that this, clearly it's an anomaly. To take wine and put it on fire is clearly an anomaly. Normally wine goes in the Sefalim, other things go on fire. And wine is called Isuch, and the other things that you put on the fire is called Haktara. So what happens when you have wine on the fire? Is it a different type of Nisuch? Or is it a different type of haktara? So anyway, but Shmuel says, that's what you do. You put it on the fire. So my taima, what's the basis for Shmuel? Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about the Minchas Nesachim that comes together with a karban, with an olu or a shlamim, it says, V'yayin takriv l'nesach chatziyahin, ishe reich nichoach l'Hashem. Ishe sounds like something has to do with the fire. And that's clearly not referring to what the Pasuk is actually talking about the Minchas Nesachim, because it says, Beferish haseich nesach Sheikhar, that you're supposed to be menasechin into the Sefalim. So it must be that I'm supposed to learn from the word Ishei that when you bring Yayin separately as a Nedava, that you are then supposed to be mezalifit on the Ishim. Now Rashi points out, and what about the opinion that disagrees with Shmuel, that says that there is no din of being mezalif the Yayin on the Ishim? What does he do with Ishei Reich Nichoach L'Hashem? So he holds that the word Ishei has nothing to do with fire. It means it's a nachas ruach lefnei Hashem, like a carbon that's brought on the fire. It has nothing to do with actual fire. It's a comparison. It's saying that when you bring Yayin l'nedava, so it's, it brings as much nachas ruach Hashem as if you brought something on the fire. And obviously Rashi on Chumash says that when he's teaching the pasuk, that Ishei is not going on the Yayin. It's going on the other things that actually are on the fire. The mincha and the shemen, other things that are burnt on the fire, that that it's, it can't be going on the Yayin, because Yayin doesn't go on the fire. So, okay, so if you don't hold like Shmuel, you have to account for the word Ishei. So those are the different possibilities. So ask the Gemara on Shmuel, v'akamechabi, how can you put Yayin on the fire that's on the Mizbech? There's an issue in the Torah of Esh Tamid Tukal on the Mizbech, lo sichbe, that you have to have a constant fire going on the Mizbech. One is not allowed to extinguish the fire on the Mizbech. So the Gemara's going to have a couple of answers to this question. As far as the soul is just bothered, he says, I don't understand what the problem is. Meaning, there's an iser lo saseh that you're not allowed to extinguish the fire on the Mizbech. And there's a mitzvah saseh that you're supposed to put the yayin on the fire on the Mizbech. Generally speaking, aseh, docha lo saseh, problem solved. Who cares that there's an iser that you're not allowed to extinguish the fire? That means you're not allowed to take a fire extinguisher, go onto the top of the Mizbech and extinguish the fire. But when you have a mitzvah to do, to put some yayin on the fire, so it's aseh docha lo saseh. So it happens to be that the Or Sameach learns that that's good for the Gemara's answer, that that's exactly what the Gemara means in the Gemara's answer. But not all Achronim understand that way. So the Chemdes Daniel writes that even though Shmuel learns this way from a Pasuk, the question is that the most logical way to learn the Pasuk? That there's a mitzvah to actually put the Yayin on the Ishim? Maybe there's a better way to learn the Pasuk where it's not going to create this conflict of Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. So the Gemara is saying, meaning, shouldn't that be an indicator that if there's another way to learn the Pasuk, that maybe we should choose that other way to learn the Pasuk that will not yield a mitzvah saseh of putting Yayin on the fire. So anyway, so the Gemara's question is, how can you be mechabe the fire? What about the fact that it's an iser to be mechabe the fire in the Mizbech? Answer number one, kibui b'mitzvahs lo shmei kibus, lo shmei kibui, that a partial extinguishing is not a violation of the iser of extinguishing the fire on the Mizbech. Unlike when it comes to, let's say, Meleches Shabbos, right, where by Meleches Shabbos, the halacha is even doing a little bit of it is a violation of the Melecha. Over here, the Torah is not so worried about Kibbuy, the Torah is worried about the Mizbeach being without a fire. So as long as there's still a fire, you haven't really done Kibbuy of the fire. It would be a violation of Hilchos Shabbos in general if you take a fire and you're only partially Mechab of the fire. That's certainly a violation of Hilchos Shabbos, but as far as Mizbeach is concerned, it's all about Eish Tamid Tukal Mizbeach, of having a constant fire on the Mizbeach. Mizbeach. Achronim point out also it's somewhat interesting that the Gemara never asked this question about shemen, that when you put the shemen on the fire, that isn't that also a violation of being mechabed the fire? So Sfasemis points out because the shemen that you put on the fire, shemen is flammable. So even though initially when it first hits the fire, it may be mechabed a little bit, but ultimately it provides more fuel for the fire. And anything that ultimately provides more fuel for the fire is not going to be considered kiboy, as opposed to yayin, where it's all it does to the fire is that it's mechabed the fire. So the Gemara said that okay, kiboy mitzvah is not called kiboy. Eini, is that really true? If a person takes a coal off of the mizbech and he's mechabed it, chayiv, he's chayiv malchus, he violated lo sichbe. But wait a second, if you're going to taina that kiboy mitzvah is not called kiboy, why wouldn't you take a single gachelus off of the mizbech? Did you violate anything? So answers the Gemara, because the case is deleka elahai. You took the very last gachelus off the mizbech, so that's all that was on the mizbech, and that's why you violated lo sichbe, because generally speaking, your kiboy mitzvah is not called kiboy. But if you took the last flaming coal from the Mizbech and were mechabit it, so then you violated. The Brisker Rav points out that you have to say that we're talking about a case where at the time that you took the gachelus off the Mizbech, there was still other fire going on the Mizbech. It's only when you were mechabit it later that at that point there was no further fire on the Mizbech, because otherwise, just simply removing the gachelus from the Mizbech would already violate the Isser, because the whole point is not that the fire should continue to exist, but that it should continue to exist on the Mizbeach. So if it no longer, if the second you remove it from the Mizbeach, there's nothing left, you already violated the Issur. You wouldn't need to be mechabe it afterwards. So the real kasha is, what's the chiddush? Meaning, obviously, if it's the last gachelus on the Mizbeach, there's nothing left. Obviously, you violated the Sukhbe. So what's the big chiddush of Rabba Baravua? Okay, but that's all answer number one. So again, the Gemara's question of Shmuel was, how can you put Yayin on the fire? Isn't it a violation of being mechabed the yesh on the mizbeach? So answer number one is partial kibbuy is not kibbuy. Answer number two, ibay seima kibbuy the mitzvah shiny. Partial kibbuy may be kibbuy, but when the kibbuy is a mitzvah, then you're allowed to do it, even though it's going to partially put out the fire. So the Yosemech and Tamidim Musaf and Perak Beis Halach Avav says, yeah, that's what the Gemara is trying to tell us, that even though kibbuy mitzvah is aser, but by haktara it's mutter because of asay dochalos. And the Or Samech says, but wait a second, isn't this a lo sasei ve'asei? Because it says ve'eshal mizbech tukad, which is an asei, and lo sichba, which is a lo sasei. So how could it be that the asei of putting the ayin on the ishim is going to be docha both the lo sasei ve'asei? So he says, no, the asei is only when you mechabe the entire fire. Kibbuy mitzvah is a violation, but only of the lav, not of the asei. So even this second answer relies on the first answer. Meaning the first answer, the difference is, the first answer thought that kibbuy mitzvah lo shmei kibbuy, even as far as the lo sasei is concerned. This answer is suggesting kibbuy mitzvah lo shmei kibbuy, as far as the asei is concerned. The asei is, make sure there's some fire on the mizbech. So partial kibbuy still sees to it that there's some fire on the mizbech. But the lo sasei of lo sichbe is, don't do any melechas, don't do anything that would violate a melechas kibbuy on Shabbos. So to do anything similar on the mizbech would be a violation. So for that, kibbuy the mitzvah shiny. For that, we're going to say that the asei is docha the lo sasei. So says Gemara Tashema, I'll bring you a raya that even a kibbuy shel mitzvah is that even a kibbuy that you're doing on account of a mitzvah is going to be aser, because the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov klapish nisna Torah litrom yachal, that the Torah has a mitzvah called trumas hadeshen that you're supposed to go and remove some of the ashes from the mizbech. So yachal, I would have thought that if you find all of the kacholim on the mizbech are still on fire, that yichabe v'yitrom, that since the Torah says there's a mitzvah of trumas hadeshen, you should put out the fire and then do the Shumasadeshan, so Amart lo yichabe. That's why it says lo yichabe, that you're not supposed to put out the fire. So apparently, even when it's for the sake of a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to put out the fire. And so Gemara Shaini Yasam Efshar Diyasav Natar. No, over there it's different, because the only reason you're not allowed to put out the fire is because there's another Eitzah. Just wait till it goes out. So wait till it goes out and then do the Shumasadeshan. We're not telling you to not do the mitzvah. Just wait till it's the time of the mitzvah. So now, the Gemara takes a step back and says, wait a second, is Shmuel even correct? Shmuel said that you're supposed to put yayin on the esh. So we had kashas, you know, isn't that kibbutz? But is that even true that you're supposed to put yayin on the esh? So Tashma, we'll bring a raya from a brisa. Yayin kedivri Rabbi Akiva l'safalim. According to Rabbi Akiva that you're allowed to be menadev yayin. Rabbi Tavron also agrees you're allowed to be menadev yayin. But according to Rabbi Akiva, who said beferish that you're allowed to be menadev yayin, so where do you put that yayin that you bring as an adava? You bring it in, you put it in the safalim, you pour it into the normal bowls on the top of the mizbeach, and you don't put it on the fire. Shemen kedivri Rabbi Tavron l'ishim, and Rabbi Tavron holds that you're allowed to be menadev shemen, holds that you put it on the fire. But bottom line is, you see beferish in the brisa that if you hold it, you're allowed to be menadev yayin, you don't put it on the fire, you put it in the safalim. Va'o tanya, we have another brisa, yayin nesach, yayin over here, yayin nesach doesn't mean yayin nesach, it means yayin that's coming as nesachim, that go along with the carbon, meaning it doesn't mean like avodah zarah. Yayin that you bring together with your carbon as nesachim, l'safalim, it goes into the safalim, aweinu alishim, or maybe not, maybe it should go onto the fires of the mizbeach. So amart lo yichabeh, no, but the Torah says lo yichabeh, so since it says lo yichabeh, that teaches me I'm not allowed to put out the fire. Ooh, so it must be that I can't put yayin on the fire, because that's going to put out the fire. So mainly you see that the yayin goes into the sfalim. So both of these brises are clearly against Shmuel. So it says more lo kasha. You can't ask that these brises are against Shmuel, because in a chinami they're against Shmuel, but Shmuel will just tell you it's a machlokas tanoim, that har Rabbi Yehuda, har Rabbi Shimon, and this is part of a much broader machlokas that we have in Shas, that the brise that holds that because of the issur to be mechabed the esh, it must be that that the yayin doesn't go on the esh. So that holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that even a davar shein miskaven is aser. So the fact that there's an issur to extinguish the fire on the mizbech, even though that's not your kavana when you're pouring the yayin on the esh, your kavana is to do the mitzvah of pouring the yayin, but nevertheless davar shein miskaven is going to be aser, so you cannot do that. Whereas Shmuel, who holds from Ishei that you're mezalef the yayin on the ishim, is Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a davar shein miskaven is mutter. So therefore, there's no issur of being mechaba when you don't have any kavana to be mechaba, when your only kavana is to be maktir the yayin. So therefore, he could learn from Ishei that there's a mitzvah to be maktir the yayin on the esh, because it doesn't go against the issur of the Torah of extinguishing the fire, since it's a davar shein miskaven. So it would turn out that the first brisa, when it said yayin kedivri Rabbi Akiva l'safalim, holds like Rabbi Yehuda as well, that a davar shein miskaven is aser, and we can't learn from Ishei that you're mistadiv yayin, that you're mezalif al gabe ishim. So Tosfos raises a question that, wait a second, if that's what the Gemara is saying, that both brisas that we just quoted that go against Shmuel must be holding like Rabbi Yehuda, and the first brisa said that according to Rabbi Akiva that you're allowed to be mezalif yayin, it must be going that you put it in the sefalim and not on the yesh, and that must be going like Rabbi Yehuda. That implies that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shein miskaven is aser, which would be great if you didn't know all of Shas. But when you learn all of Shas, Tos points out the Gemara Baba Kama says that Rabbi Akiva holds that you're allowed to wear shatnis if your kavana is not for hana'as levisha, if you have some other kavana in wearing the beged of shatnis. So if you're trying to be mavir the mechas, that they charge a tax on each beged that you have in your suitcase, so you just put beged on top of beged on top of beged, so that you could be mavir the mechas. So you do like Rabbi Scheinberg did with the tzitzis, right? You just you come in looking like a football player to be mavir the mechas, so that then you don't have to play then you're not in violation of the isser of shatnis, because davar shein miskaven is mutter. But wait a second, I thought Rabbi Akiva over here is saying davar shein miskaven is aser. So Tosfos asks this question. Tosfos says that you have to say that it's a machlokas tanaim what Rabbi Akiva held, that according to this, to the brisa in our Gemara, Rabbi Akiva held like Rabbi Yehuda, davar shein miskaven is aser. According to the tanaim in Maseches Baba Kama, Rabbi Akiva held like Rabbi Shimon that davar shein miskaven is mutter. Now, according to what the Gemara is answering, that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, so then you don't need the previous answers that the Gemara said, that there's no issur of kibbutz b'miktzas, meaning kibbutz b'miktzas could be aser, kibbutz shel mitzvah could be aser, and the fact that Shmuel said you're allowed to do this is just part of his broader shita of davar shein miskaven is mutter. And that's what the Rambam in fact paskins in Tevidim Musav in Perek Beis Halacha Vav, that kibbutz b'miktzas is Usser. So the Rashi raises the issue over here. How can we call this a davar sheinu miskaven? Al karchach, when you mezalef yayin on the esh, you are being mechaba the esh. And when it's a psik reshe, everyone, mother Rabbi Shimon psik reshe, even Rabbi Shimon holds davar sheinu miskaven is mutter, would agree by psik reshe that it's going to be usser. So Rashi has a chiddush. He says that since it's there is a way to do the sprinkling of the ayin on the esh, where it's not a psik reshe, there's a way, if you do very teeny tiny tipos, so even when you do it in a way that is a psik reshe, it's not called a psik reshe. That since there's a way to do this very act without necessarily the resulting kibui, so even though you're doing it in a way that is going to result in a kibui, somehow that's not called a psik reshe. A very big chiddush that requires explanation, but not for now. So says Gemara, the Meimer d'Shmuel Rabbi Shimon Svirulei, do you mean to tell me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon? Shmuel says that on Shabbos, if you see a gachelas made out of metal that's in a public place where people can get hurt by it, you're allowed to be mechabit it on Shabbos, because the whole thing is only Yisrud Rabbanan. Makom hazekat the Rabbim, they didn't make this Yisrud Rabbanan. Avalo gachelas shaleit, but if you see a boiling hot gachelas shaleit, in a Rosh Hashanah, that's a threat to public safety, you're not allowed to be mechabed on Shabbos, because it's an issur d'oraisa. But when it comes to gachal shaleitz, because when you put out a gachal shaleitz, you've created pechamin, which is the real issur of kibui. So I mean, the real issur of kibui is that you're creating hot coals. V'yisal kadaitach Rabbi Shimon svirulei. But if Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Shimon, afil gachal shaleitz nami, then Rabbi Shimon holds that a melach shein srich l'gufa is only an issur d'rabbanan. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon should say that you should be allowed to put out even a gachal shel eitz, because it's a melach shein sricha legufa. Meaning, normally when you're mechabe, you're creating pachamin, and that's what your intention is. But when you're going to do the very same act with the very same result, but the intention is not for the totsa'a of that melacha, so it's a melach shein sricha legufa. Or really, the way Rashi understands melach shein sricha legufa, the way Rashi teaches this gemara, is a is a situation that you never would have asked for. You didn't want this whole thing to happen, and it's a melacha siluk. You're just trying to get rid of a problem. So that's called melach shein srich l'gufa. For example, the case that comes up of melach shein srich l'gufa is a mesach Shabbos of Tzadi Gimel, is hotzah mirushus l'rushus. You're not allowed to carry from rushus yachad to rushus ha-rabim. So let's say there's a dead body in your house, and you're going to have a lot of company for lunch, and that's a real downer. Everyone's going to come, and they're going to show up, and there's going to be a dead body in your living room. So you remove the dead body and you bring it out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So that's a melach shein srich l'gufa. Why is that a melach shein srich l'gufa? So Rashi says, because you just don't want the dead body here. You don't really care about getting it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You just don't want it here. It's a melach asiluk. You didn't want this whole situation. You didn't ask for a dead body to be in your living room. So that's the definition of melach shein srich l'gufa. So when you have this hot wooden coal that's burning in a Rosh Hashanah, you just don't want it here. So you're doing the kibui, but not to create pchamin that you could then use. No, it's just to get rid of it. It's a melach asiluk. So Rabbi Shimon holds melach shein srich l'guf is only nisid rabbanan, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you should be allowed to extinguish that on Shabbos. So if Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Shimon, that a melach shein that davar shein miskaven is mutter, he should likewise hold like Rabbi Shimon that a melach shein srich l'gufa is only nisid rabbanan, and therefore he should allow extinguishing this gachel shel esh. So this question, what the havamin of the Gemara is, just because you hold like Rabbi Shimon about davar shein miskaven, does that necessarily mean you have to hold like him about melach shein srich l'gufa? The Gemara's answer is no, they have nothing to do with each other. Meaning, but the question is what the havamin even was. Why would we have had? Why would we have thought that they have what to do with each other? Okay, but the Gemara's answer is davar shein miskaven sovel like Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon about davar shein miskaven, that davar shein miskaven is mutter, but melach shein srich l'gufa sovel like Rabbi Yehuda. And when it comes to melach shein srich l'gufa, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you're chayiv from melach shein srich l'gufa, that it's nisa d'oraisa, and therefore he says by gachel shaleitz it's going to be nisa d'oraisa to be mechaber that gachel, so you're not allowed to do it even b'makom hezekah d'rabim. Obviously, the hezek we're talking about is not pikuach nefesh. If we're a suffik pikuach nefesh, you can violate even d'oraisas. We're talking about it's going to be damaging. It's going to harm people. It's just, but it's not pikuach nefesh. nefesh. Now the Rambam paskins that in Hilchos Maaser Karbonos Parakei Zayin Halacha Yudalid that Yayin Shel Nedava you're menaseich al gabei ashisin like all other nesachim, meaning he holds that you put it into the sefalim against Shmuel. He does not hold that you take the Yayin and you put it on the ishim. So the Achronim all ask on the Rambam a very simple question. The Gemara in the end says that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, and if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that davar she'en miskaven is mutter, there's no reason not to put the yayin on the fire. And the only reason to say not to put the yayin on the fire is if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that davar she'en miskaven is aser. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Aleph Halachei davar she'en miskaven mutter, and that's how we paskin that davar she'en miskaven is mutter like Rabbi Shimon. So how come he holds you're not allowed to put the yayin on the ishim? The Gemara's maskana is that you are allowed to. If you hold davar she'en miskaven is mutter, so every achron has their take on that shitas Rambam, a difficult shitas Rambam. Amar Rav Huna, nesachim shnitmu. If you have nesachim that became tamei in the azara, osel and ma'aracha b'fnei atzman. You make their own ma'aracha, their own pile of wood to burn it on, not with the other psuli amikdashim. And you burn it right there. You don't have to take it outside of the Azara. Mishum Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Bakodesh Be'ish Tisareif, that we darshan, it says, V'chol Bakodesh Be'ish Tisareif, that all kachim that become pasul when they leave the Azara, if they become tame in the Azara, you can't take them out of the Azara, because they're not allowed to leave the Azara, so you burn them right there. I'm not sure why it's a Mishum Shenemar. Normally, Mishum Shenemar means that it's not really a drush from the Pasuk, that the Pasuk is really only being meramis to it, that it's a little bit off, that the drush is not exactly spot on. Okay, Tani Nami Achi, Hadam HaShemen HaMenachos V'Nesachim Shenitmu, if you have Dam HaShemen HaMenachos V'Nesachim that became Tamei, Osel and Maracha V'Nesachim V'Sarfan, so it says Beferish, that you make them their own Maracha in the Azara and you burn them there. Amalish Melurav Chana Bagdesoa, Aisili Be'asara Ve'melach Kamayu, bring me 10 people and I'll so that I can say this din in front of all these 10 people, that this same din, that Nesachim, they become Tamei, you should make their own Ma'aracha. In the Chasdei David, he wonders, why did Shmuel need to say this in front of 10 people? Why did the Gemara have to bring this Maisa? We already quoted that Rav Huna said it, there was a Brisa that was Messiah him. Now I need to be told that Shmuel said it in front of 10 people as well. And why were Shmuel and Rav Huna only saying this about Nesachim, and not like the Brisa said, where it said about Dam and Sherman, right? Shmuel and Rav Huna only said about the Nesachim. So he says that Shmuel knew that this Brisa is not a Brisa that was Muskam b'fi kol, and therefore we don't paskin like the Brisa. We only paskin this by Nesachim, not by everything else. So he didn't want to be mefarsim in the Brisa in front of 10 people because it's a Brisa that's incorrect that we don't paskin like. So that's why the Gemara says no. When Shmuel wanted to be mefarsim this din, he dafka didn't quote the Brisa. He said that it's when it comes to Nesachim, not all of the things that the Brisa had said, that the Dam and the Shemen and the Menachos and the Nesachim. No, it's Dafka about the Nesachim. So now we move on to the 11th parak of Meseches Vachim. So this parak talks about three basic topics. Where the first one we're going to talk about is when Dam and Korban Chatos gets splashed on a beged, that there's the din of Kibus on the beged. Then we're going to talk about Basar V'Chatos that gets cooked in a kli, that you have to kasher the kli in some way or another, and what you do with the kli cheres. And the third topic is going to be if you have food that touches basar chatas, that food takes on the status of basar chatas, and based on the limitations on who and when it gets eaten, who's allowed to eat it and when it gets eaten. So first things first, though, our mission is going to talk about the din of kibus begadim when dam chatas gets on a beged. So there is such a din, such a pasuk in the Torah that you need to be mechabes begadim when dam chatas gets on beged. The Rashbam al Torah says it's in order that the zman that the achilus korban shouldn't pass, the zman where it's mutzi the korban shouldn't pass, because then the bliya that's in the beged becomes an isra of nosar, and you'd have to burn the entire beged because you have nosar, which is dino b'sreifa, inside the beged. So we want to avoid nosar. The Ramban writes differently. He says we do kibus because the Torah is machmir, the dam chatas that gets sprinkled is considered as if it's still in the Kli Sharis, and we can't bring the Beged outside of the Azara if it's still Balua in the Beged. We view that Dam as if it's still in the Kli Sharis. It's not allowed to go outside the Azara. So if you ever want to bring the Beged outside of the Azara, you need to wash it. So, okay, whatever the reason for it is. Dam Chatash Nisal Beged Harei Zeh Ton Kibus. The Din is the Din, that it's going to require Kibus when the Dam Chatash gets sprinkled on the beged. Even though the pasuk itself is only talking about chatos hachitzonios, the types of carbonos chatos that get eaten, shenemar, because the pasuk says b'makom kadosh teachel. So it's in the same pasuk where we have kibbutz. It tells me about eating the carbonos. So, but nevertheless, echron echalos vechla pnimios tunos kibbutz. This halacha happens to apply to all chatos, to chatos pnimios as well, even the types of chatos that don't get eaten, shenemar, because the pasuk says Torah hachatos, Torah achas l'kol hachatos. That since it says Torah hachatos, that's an inclusive term, and therefore it's Torah achas for all chatos. Chatos psula, if you have a chatos whose dam or basar became pasul, ain't damatotin kibbutz. When that dam gets on the beged, you don't have the din of kibbutz, because the pasuk says Asher yizah aleat chabes makom kadosh, and we darshan from Asher yizah that the din of kibbutz is only when the chatos is kosher and the dam is ro'i la'azah on the mizbeach. But if the dam is not ro'i to do the azah on the mizbeach, then when it gets on the beged, you don't have to do kibbutz. Bein shayisa la'shasa kosher, bein shaloisa la'shasa kosher. When you have a chatos that's pasul, it does not require a kibbutz whether the chatos ever was kosher or whether it wasn't. So ezui shayisa la'shasa kosher. What's an example of a chatos that once was kosher to throw the dam on the mizbeach, but then something happened that made it pasul? So shalana, if let's say the dam had lina in the azar, it stayed overnight in the azar, so he didn't do it in time, or shenitma, became tummy before he had the opportunity to sprinkle the dam in the mizbech, v'sheyatzas, or it went outside of the azara before you were azarik on the mizbech, v'ezvi shaloi shasa kosher. What's an example of a chatas that never had a shasa kosher? Shenishchita chutzuzmana, that you shechted it, having in mind chutzuzmana, so from the moment of the shechita, you already pasled it, v'chutzumakom, or you shechted having in mind to eat it chutzumakoma, v'shekiblu psulin estoma, or people who are apostled to do the avodah were mekabel the dam of the carbon chatos. So right away, at the very outset, it became apostle. So it was never ratui for being nizrak on the mizbeach. So now, says Gemara, dam chatos, we said that dam chatos that gets sprinkled, that gets splashed on a beged, requires kibbutz, and that's true both of chatos hachitzonios and of chatos apnimios, because Torah sachatos is true of all chatos. Well, itar achas l'kol chatos, afil chatos ovnami. Well, if that's true of all chatos, well, why not? Maybe chatos ov should also be included in this din of kibbutz. Alamatanya yachol yedam chatos ov ton kibbutz tamalomar zos. How come we have a brisa that says specifically not that way, that a chatos ov does not require kibbutz? So I'm reish lagish mishum bar kapara amakra tishachet b'nishchatos akas medaber, because it says tishachet, and therefore only those chatos that get shchita require kibbutz. An oaf doesn't get shchita, gets malika. So says Mar Vema b'nei echolos hakasa medaber. No, maybe it's about any chatos that gets eaten, and therefore it would exclude pnimios. Kidichsiv makom kadosh teochel, because it says teochel as well of pnimios lo. So Rabbi Rachman of Torah. No, because the Torah says Torah, which is an inclusive term. So even that which seems to be excluded by the pasuk is included, and therefore chatos pnimios also require kibbutz. Iachi afilu chatos avnami. Well, if you're going to say that that the word Torah is inclusive, so be inclusive of a chatos of as well. No, miyat rachman zos. The Torah said zos, so there's an exclusive term. But umari isa, how do you know that zos excludes of and Torah includes pnimios? Maybe zos excludes pnimios and Torah includes of. Three answers. Number one, mistaver the chatos pein pnimios chavilei the rabuye. It's most mistaver that the din of kibbutz is going to apply to the pnimios because they're similar to the chitonios in the following ways. Shekein behema, they're behema, they're not an oaf. Shchita safon, they both require shchita in the tzafon, unlike an oaf, which gets malika. The kabbalas kli, and you do kabbalah from the neck of the animal with a kli, as opposed to an oaf, where you just go straight from the neck of the animal. The keren, and the dam chatos pnimios goes on the four karnos of the mizbeach pnimi, just like the chatos chitonios go on the karnos mizbeach chitzon. the etzba, and when you place the dam on the mizbech, you do it with your finger, the chuda, and it goes on the edge of the corner of the mizbech, and the ishim, and the emurim of it go on the fire on the mizbech. So in all those ways, the chatos apnimios are similar to the chatos achitonios, and therefore it stands to reason that just like chatos achitonios require kibbutz, so do chatos apnimios. Says Mar Adrab, chatos hovavelir rabuye. But there are plenty of things that chatos achitonios have in common with Oaf as well. Shekein chutz, they're both on the mizbech achitzon kamosa, the achila kamosa, and they both get eaten by kohanim, as opposed to chatos apnimios, which is bifnim, it's not b'chutz, and it's not eaten by kohanim. Says Mar, yeah, but that's it, that's the end of your list. So hanuch nefishin, there are like five or six or seven things that chatos achitonios are similar to chatos apnimios, and only two things where chatos achitonios are similar to Oaf, and therefore we're going to say pnimios require kibbutz, Oaf does not require kibbutz. Second answer, how do I know that Oaf does not require kibbutz, whereas chatos apnimios do? Rav Yosef Amar Amar Kra, because the pasuk says in the parsha of kibbutz, yochalena, that you eat it, sounds like it's a miut, l'zov v'lo l'acheres, that only one chatos gets eaten, b'ne'echalos, mi'etekasuv. So we have the miut in ne'echalos, that one of the ne'echalos requires kibbutz, but another type of chatos that gets eaten doesn't require kibbutz. So that means the chatos ha'ov, because if we're chatos ha'pnimos, they don't get eaten. So we're excluding one of the eaten chatos from kibbutz. Ve'lezos la. So why do I need Zos if you already have Yochalena to tell me? So Ilav Zos Hava Amina Yochalena Orche Dekra Kamash Malan. I would not have known to darshan Yochalena to exclude Chatos Ov had I not had Zos to tell me that I'm supposed to exclude something. So the word Zos tells me you better exclude something from the din of kibbutz. Ayvei, what should I exclude? Should I exclude Chatos Apnimios or should I exclude Ov? That's why I need Yochalena to tell me you exclude something that gets eaten. And therefore I know to exclude Oaf. Rabba Amar, third approach. How do I know that Chatos HaPnimios require kibbutz, but Oaf does not? Amar Kra, Asher Yizeh, Bazos HaKasim Medaber. That we're talking about Chatos, where that require Hazza'ah of their dam, which the Chatos HaPnimios, it says, V'hizim en adam, Shev v'pam l'fnei Hashem. But Chatos HaChitzonios don't have a din Hazza'ah, because you're no sein by touching your finger on the wall of the Mizrach, not by a zrika, and so therefore chatos achitonios are, we learn from Torah sachatos. So Rabbi disagrees with Rav Yosef. He holds that the chatos that the pasuk is talking about is the chatos chitzona, and the chatos pnimis is learned from Torah. And so the ikara of the pasuk is about chatos apnimios. The chatos achitzona is derived from the word Torah, meaning it flips it on its head. Up until now, we thought, oh, the pasuk that talks about kibbutz is about chatos. Ooh, Torah comes to expand it even chatos apnimios. Rabbi is saying the opposite. Pasuk is about chatos apnimios. Torah comes to expand it even to chatos achitonios. So the Gemara explains Shitas Rabbah Vatanan. We have a Mishnah. Aval bishin kosam medaber el b'ne'echalos. That the pasuk is about ne'echalos. The pasuk is about things that get eaten. And the way Rabbah learned, it's about panimios. It's not about ne'echalos. So the answer to the Gemara, when it says that the pasuk is talking about chatos chitonios, that gets eaten because it says b'makom kadosh te'echel linim mriku shtifa. That means the din of mriku shtifa is about ne'echalos. But the avalinim kibbutz asher yizaksiv. But when it talks about kibbutz, that's not really about the ne'echalos. When it talks about kibbutz, that's about the chatos apnimios. Ihachi echel ne'echalos vechel apnimios echel apnimios echel ne'echalos mibayle. Yeah, well then why does it say whether it's the ne'echalos or whether it's the apnimios? You should start with what the pasuk is actually about. So it should have said in the reverse, Echel HaPnimios Vechel HaNechalos. So it's an Echel HaPnimios Vechel HaNechalos. Okay, change the order. Ihachi Chatos Ha'ov Nami. But then, if it's true that the Pasuk is really talking about that there's a Chiv to be Mazam Idam from Asher Yizeh, we should include in Asher Yizeh the Chatos Ha'ov as well. No, Miet Rachman Zos. The word Zos tells me not to include it. Ihachi Chitzon Nami Lo. Then the Zos should tell me to exclude Chatos HaChitzonios as well. No, Riba Rachman HaToras. But we have Torah tell me to include it. So Mari Isa, how do I know to use the word Zos to exclude Oaf and use the word Toras to include Chatos Achitzonios? This is all within Shitas Rabba. Mistaver Chatos Behema Havli the Rabbi. It's more Mistaver that Chatos Achitzonios is more similar to Chatos Apnimios than Chatos Oaf is to Chatos Apnimios. How is it more similar? Shekin Behema, Shchitas Tzafon, Kabbalas Kli, Karen, Etzba, Chuda, Ishim, the same exact list that we had before, except previously we were saying that the starting point was Chatos Achitzonios, so we were saying, oh, what does Pnimios have in common? Now we're saying the starting point is Pnimios, what do Chitzonios have in common? So it says Gemara, Adaraba, Chatos Hof, Havali Rubui, Shekein Hazza'a Kamosa. So it requires Hazza'a, just like the Oaf requires Hazza'a, just like Chatos Pnimios. So it says Gemara, Nahanach Nefishin. Obviously, the Chatos Achitzon is more in common with the Chatos HaPnimis. So, by Rabbi Avin, Chatos of Shichnas Dama B'Tzavara B'Fnim Mahu. What if the dam went into the Heichal while it was still in the neck of the animal? Tzavara B'Kli Shari's Dami U'Mifsil Odim L'Katzavar Behema. Do we view that it's like a Kli Shari's or like the neck of a Behema? Midama Amrachman V'Lo B'Sara. We'll start with this tomorrow. I'm just rushing. Okay, so Bezrem will pick up with Bayer Rabbi Yavin tomorrow. Afreilich Mechanica, everybody.